When technology stocks came crashing down, many people felt conned by the dot-coms. John Cassidy says the failures had to do with bad business, not bad technology. He covers economics and finance for The New Yorker and has written a new book about the bursting of the internet bubble. It's titled Dot-Con, The Greatest Story Ever Sold. Cassidy argues that the tech boom and bust was a uniquely American phenomenon.
Well, I think the internet itself played into a lot of deeply held and very historical American values, one of which was individualism. The internet was a very individualistic medium. Secondly, it was very exciting technology. America's always prided itself on being the technological frontier, going back to Thomas Edison. Thirdly, it was a very optimistic, you know, idea, an optimistic medium, this idea that it was sort of limitless. And fourth, it seemed to provide a sort of new frontier. I mean, if you listen to some of the early internet gurus, they specifically made that argument that cyberspace and the development of the internet was the new frontier for America.
You devote a lot of the book to some of the Wall Street analysts who did become cheerleaders for the dot-com industry.
Yeah.
Do you believe that there was corruption?
Sure, sure. As far as we can make out, there wasn't much straightforward illegality. I mean, it's a bit like the Enron story in some ways. The laws allowed a lot of suspect behavior. The basic conflict here was Wall Street's role as advising the companies and advising the public. These investment analysts, to the outsiders, appeared to be objective observers who recommended stocks to the public. But actually, their principal role financially was attracting business to their investment banks. Investment bankers are like real estate brokers, really. When they sell stocks, they take a commission, just like when they sell your house. So these banks were making a lot of money issuing the stock to the public, when at the same time, the analysts who worked for the banks were presenting themselves as impartial observers. That was a clear conflict of interest, but there's nothing actually illegal about it.
You make an interesting argument towards the end of your book that clearly, September 11th was the final death knell for the dot-com bubble, whatever was left of it by that point. But not only because the capital dried up, but because there was also the psychological effect of what happened that day.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I see sort of September the 11th as being a sort of real end of the boom. I mean, the stock market itself, the Nasdaq itself had collapsed 15 or 16 months previously. But September the 11th, to me, sort of brought the whole late 90s stock market fervor to an end in a broader sense, because I think that period was based on a number of sort of assumptions, which I think were undermined by the terrorist attack. The idea that sort of national hatreds had been broken down, that geography didn't matter anymore, that history didn't really matter anymore. The internet was sort of tied up with all of these things, but they suddenly seemed pretty stupid, I think, after September the 11th. Suddenly geography did matter, history did matter. Clearly ethnic hatred and national hatred hadn't disappeared. So I just think there were a lot of sort of unconscious intellectual underpinnings to the internet era, which, you know, as I say, were undermined by September the 11th and, you know, can't be brought back.
John Cassidy, the author of Dot-Con, The Greatest Story Ever Sold. Thank you very much.
Thank you.